Hello, I'm Matthew, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 1st of July, 2026.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD. Simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have me, Matthew, Angela, Muhammad, Helen, Mina, Peter, Simon, and of course not forgetting Roger. In this week's edition, we have all the latest from Beacon, including a lifestyle newsletter for July with Dan. Some fascinating news and nostalgia from across the Black Country. You'll have to be nimble-minded as we have another challenging number puzzle quiz from Roger and Mina. Mina also has the latest forecast for the week ahead. We continue our journey round the Recon with Michael and Leslie Brackier. And of course, we have the latest goings-on from the village of Leaford, our exclusive drama series, written by local authors John Marks and Michael Brackier, with audio also provided by Michael and Leslie Brackier. And with Armed Forces Day being celebrated last weekend, with thanks to TNF Soundings, we hear the second and final part of some wartime memories from Nancy Bailey, a member of the Women's Auxiliary Air Force, or WAAF, during the Second World War. Local news to start, though, with me, Matthew, Angela, and Peter.
Dudley Council will be shining a spotlight on its work to tackle antisocial behaviour, ASB, when it marks National Antisocial Behaviour Awareness Week, which is 29th of June to the 5th of July. Throughout this week, council teams will be carrying out a programme of activity across the borough to raise awareness, engage with communities, and take direct action against nuisance and criminal behaviour. This includes visits to schools and community spaces, targeted enforcement operations, and continued use of innovative technology, including a council-operated drone, to deter and detect offences. The drone forms part of Dudley Council's enhanced approach to tackling ASB and related crime. It's been used to monitor issues such as illegal off-road bikes and quad bikes on public green spaces, support fly-tipping investigations, and even identify potholes. Equipped with thermal imaging technology, it can also help identify properties potentially being used for illegal drug cultivation. The council is also working under new public space protection orders, PSPOs, which give additional powers to tackle issues such as street racing in parts of the borough. Antisocial behaviour typically rises during the warmer months and lighter evenings. Last year, out-of-hours calls peaked between May and August, with teams receiving an average of 124 calls per month between April and September 2025, compared to 79 per month between October 2025 and March 2026. By launching these measures now, the council is taking a proactive approach ahead of the expected seasonal increase. Dudley Council's dedicated out-of-hours ASB team continues to play a vital role, fielding more than 1,300 calls last year and carrying out over 1,700 home visits to respond to incidents and support residents. Encouragingly, feedback from residents shows the council's efforts are making a difference, with 9 out of 10 people who reported antisocial behaviour this year satisfied with how their case was handled. Councillor Damien Caulfield, Cabinet Member for Neighbourhoods, said, "Antisocial behaviour can have a real impact on people's lives and communities, and we are committed to taking strong, visible action to tackle it. Antisocial Behaviour Awareness Week is an opportunity to highlight the work we are already doing and to engage directly with residents. From our dedicated out-of-hours response team to the use of cutting-edge technology like drones, we are taking a firm and proactive approach. We want residents to feel confident that when they report issues, they will be taken seriously and acted upon with decisive action against tenancy violations. Together with our partners and communities, we are working hard to keep Dudley a safe and welcoming place for everyone. Residents can report antisocial behaviour online at any time via the Council's My Dudley service. Criminal matters or emergencies should always be reported to West Midlands Police."
And at last, last week, Dudley welcomed its first tram in 96 years with the completion of a test run of the new £649 million West Midlands Metro line. The tram took just over an hour to complete its six-mile journey from Wensbury, arriving outside Dudley Zoo in Castle Hill just before midday, before continuing on to its terminal at Flood Street. Sophie Allison, Managing Director of West Midlands Metro, which will operate the service, said it was exciting to see the trams finally pass through the town. The spectacle quickly attracted the attention of passers-by. It travelled through Tipton along the old low-level line at Dudley Port Railway Station before crossing Hanson's Bridge over Birmingham New Road. It is the first time a tram travelled to Dudley on rails since March 1, 1930, when the previous Wensbury-Dudley tram line closed, although one was seen passing through the town last month on a low loader when it was being taken in for repair. But it will be some months before the tram will be carrying the public. The much-delayed project had been due to finally open on August 28th. But this month it was revealed the target would be missed. Transport chiefs now say the tram will be running by the end of the year. For last week's run, the tram barely exceeded walking pace, being restricted to 3 miles per hour for most of the run. Richard Parker, Mayor of the West Midlands, said, "Seeing the first tram run past Dudley Zoo is an exciting milestone for the project. Shoppers and visitors to the town centre will be seeing more of the trams over the coming weeks as we ramp up the testing programme. This has to be rigorous and extensive because our number one priority is to make sure the service is safe and reliable for passengers when it opens." Transport for West Midlands was pleased the journey had been completed successfully. The route, which largely follows the course of the former railway line, is the biggest extension to the West Midlands tram network since the original Wolverhampton-Birmingham line opened in May 1999. It will link up with the original tram line at a new junction in Wensbury, passing through Dudley Port Railway Station and Tipton before terminating just past Flood Street. It will eventually continue to the Merrihill Shopping Centre. The last trams into Dudley, including a service from Wensbury, ran on March 1, 1930, before they were replaced with Midland Red bus routes. Work started on the line, which was originally to have run to Briley Hill Town Centre, in February 2020, the scheme due to have been completed in its entirety by the end of 2023. Delays caused by the coronavirus lockdown saw the completion date rescheduled for summer 2024. But in July that year, the Express and Star revealed that costs had ballooned to £550 million, prompting leaders of the West Midlands Combined Authority to mothball the Dudley-Briley Hill stretch of the line until further funding could be found. In June 2023, it was announced the total cost of the scheme had risen to £649 million, taking it 45% over budget. Although the decision to scrap the northern leg of HS2 released funding to eventually extend the line as far as the Maryhill Shopping Centre. In July 2024, it was announced that the opening of the Wensbury-Dudley line would be put back to autumn 2025. The date was then put back until after Christmas, and then at the start of this year, an opening date of August 28th was confirmed. But this month, a frustrated councillor Patrick Harley, leader of Dudley Council, said he had now been told that this date too would be missed.
Whilst new services like the Metro Line extension into Dudley may be equipped with an air conditioning system to help keep things cool, as many travellers and commuters may have found out over the past few weeks, public transport systems are increasingly vulnerable to the impacts of extreme heat, such as heat exhaustion. But can you spot heat exhaustion? Well, a new video has been released to help people spot the signs of heat exhaustion and to be able to treat people suffering from it. The new video was released by West Midlands Ambulance Service in response to warnings about amber and red weather warnings in areas of the region. In it, ambulance staff Amy, Josh and Nick explain the symptoms and how people can help, including ways to help cool people down who are suffering from the heat. Move them to a cool place. Remove all unnecessary clothing like a jacket or socks. Give them plenty of water to drink. You can also give them an isotonic sports drink or oral rehydration powder that you mix with water, which will help replace salt lost through sweating. Cool their skin. Spray or sponge them with cool water and fan them. Cold packs wrapped in a cloth and put under the armpits or on the neck are good too. The full video can be seen and listened to on the West Midlands Ambulance Service Facebook page. Time now to get all the latest from Beacon, as we have the lifestyle newsletter with Dan.
Beacon Lifestyle Newsletter. Welcome to July 2026. Would you like to receive this newsletter in a different format? Please contact us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Hello everyone and welcome to our July newsletter. Summer is here and we have lots of exciting updates to share. In this issue you'll find information about upcoming events and activities taking place throughout the summer months. And below is an image of a member watering the plants at the centre. VIP sessions. These sessions are held monthly and the activities are designed with you to ensure you meet your needs. Our VIP group is a friendly bunch of people with sight loss who like to try new activities, build friendships and encourage others to live lives to the full. Each meeting costs £3.50. If you want to be part of a community that understands your experiences and you wish to attend or find out more, please email Daniel Clark, dclark@beaconvision.org. or call 01902 880 111. July 2026, Beacon's VIP schedule. So on the 3rd of the month, which is the Friday, we are at King's Winford, that's King's Winford Medical Practice, and that's 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And also on the 3rd, which is the Friday, 3rd of July, we're at Dudley VIP, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. On the 13th, on the Monday the 13th of July, at Stalebridge VIP, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And also on the 13th of July, at Hales Own VIP, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And Wednesday the 29th, at Beacon Centres VIP, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. For more information again, please email dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111. July sessions. To book a place, contact Daniel Clark at dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880 111. Beacon events are designed to be as accessible, inclusive and enjoyable as possible for people living with sight loss. To help make this possible, members of the Beacon team are always on hand to support participants throughout each activity, whether that means guiding, helping with practical arrangements, or making sure everyone feels confident and included. The Beacon cost listed for each event helps to cover the staffing and support needed to make the experience site-friendly. Where transport is provided, this is charged separately at cost price. So on Thursday, the 2nd of July, we've got our book club, and that's at Beacon Courts Communal Lounge, 10:30 a.m. to about 12:30 p.m. And the cost of that is £2.50 for staffing and support. But yeah, please join us if you love discussing books and are always on the lookout for new authors and stories. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be available. On Tuesday, the 7th of July, we're going on a trip to the cinema. The cost of that is, again, is £2.50 for staffing and support. And the cinema ticket price is £8.95. It's at the Lockwork Cinema, which is called the Lighthouse. It's 18 Friars Street, Wolverhampton, WV1 1HT. So please come and join us for a day or two using public transport to the cinema, where we'll be watching Minions and Monsters. Please come along and enjoy it. And we'll go fishing as well. So come and join us for a fun yet relaxing day of fishing. Whether you're a seasoned angler or completely new to the sport, a fully qualified coach and Beacon staff will be there to support you throughout the day. Beacon has received funding to help cover the costs of the fishing activities until October. This will cover the transport cost of £7.70 and the coach fee of £80 per session. And that will be on Wednesday the 8th and Wednesday the 22nd of July. And we will be departing Beacon at around 10:30 a.m. and returning at 2:30 p.m. The cost is £3.50 for staffing and support with free transport, plus £11 for equipment hire paid to the venue. This project has been funded by the Primary Club, the Cricketers Charity for Blind and Partially Sighted People. Newbridge Meal. On Thursday the 9th of July, we go to the Newbridge for a meal. So that's the Newbridge Stonehouse, Tetnell Road, Tetnell, Wolverhampton, WV6OJU. Again, the cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support. But please come and join us for a meal at the Newbridge and a ride out on public transport. We'll be leaving Beacon on the number one bus at around 11:45 a.m. Or you can, of course, make your own way there. And we'll be meeting at the Newbridge about 12:30 p.m. And on Friday the 10th of July, we're having a walk around Himley Hall. Again, we're departing Beacon at 10:30 a.m. and returning around 2 p.m. The cost is £2.50 for staffing and support, plus £5.50 transport. Join us for a gentle stroll around Himley Hall and its grounds. Plenty of time to enjoy the surroundings and socialise. Our staff will be there throughout to support you and ensure the walk is accessible for everyone. Our tandems are back as well on Monday the 13th of July and Monday the 27th of July. Both Mondays will be departing Beacon at 10 a.m. and returning at 1 p.m. The cost of that is £3.50 for the staffing and support, plus £7.70 for transport. To join us for our tandem bike rides that are led by qualified instructors who will support you throughout your ride. On Wednesday the 15th of July, we're having a Sedgley walk. We'll be leaving from the Beacon Centre and having a walk to Sedgley. Yeah, we'll be leaving Beacon at 10:30 a.m. and the cost again is £2.50 for staffing and support. We'll go via Sedgley Beacon and we'll stop for a bite to eat in Sedgley and have a stroll back. There'll be plenty of time to enjoy the scenery and socialise. And our staff will be there throughout to support you and help ensure the walk is accessible for everyone. Bowling. We're going bowling on Friday the 17th of July. Again, that'll be at Tenpin Dudley, Castle Gateway, Dudley, DY1, 1TA. We'll be departing Beacon at 10:30 a.m, returning at 1:30 p.m. The cost is £2.50 for staffing and support, plus a £5.50 for transport. Come and join us for a fun morning of Tenpin Bowling, whether you're a seasoned player or trying it for the first time. Everyone is welcome, and our friendly group is always keen to meet new teammates. Beacon staff will be on hand throughout to support you and make sure the session is accessible and enjoyable. On Monday the 25th of July, we're in our cooking session, and that's in the Lifestyle Kitchen here at the Beacon. That'll be from 1 p.m. to around 3 p.m. The cost, again, is £2.50 for staffing and support. So this month, we're making some crispy shredded chicken. So come along and cook up a storm with us in the kitchen. And the ingredients are below. So one red pepper, which is de-seeded and thinly sliced, a green pepper, 3 tablespoons of corn flour, 3 tablespoons of sweet chilli sauce, 1 tablespoon of garlic and ginger paste, 1 tablespoon of sesame oil, 2 spring onions. Obviously, these ingredients are open to interpretation, but we will follow that. And on Friday the 24th of July, we're going to Penderford Mill Nature Reserve. We'll be departing Beacon at 10:30 a.m. The cost will be £2.50 for staffing and support, plus about £5.50 for transport. Join us for a gentle stroll around Penderford Mill Nature Reserve, time to enjoy the surroundings and each other's company. And again, our staff will be there throughout to assist, ensure the walk is accessible for everyone. And on Friday the 31st of July, we're going to our West Park walk. So we'll be departing Beacon around 10:30 a.m. and we'll be returning around 2 p.m. The cost is £2.50 again for staffing and support, plus £5.50 transport. Join us for a gentle stroll around West Park. Plenty of time to enjoy the scenery and socialise. Our staff will be there throughout again to support you and help ensure the walk is accessible for everyone. Further dates for July. We have 2 singers coming into our Lifestyle Centre during July. So on Monday the 20th of July, Ian Hammond is coming from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. And on Tuesday the 28th of July, Wendy Burns is coming up as well from 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. So please join us for a fun and uplifting afternoon filled with music and laughter. If you wish to come along to either of these, please call 01902 880111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Are you interested? So we're looking at a trip to the RAF Museum in Cosford. To make this possible, I need a minimum of 8 people. So yeah, we're just trying to gather interest if that's possible. We may also arrange a day trip for the coach company and a trip to Dudley Zoo in the coming months. So a day trip for a coach company, maybe to the seaside, etc. We'll see. But please let me know if you would like to attend any of these. And please feel free to call 01902 880 111 or email me at dclark@beaconvision.org or speak to me whenever you bump into me. Thank you, Dan. Tuesday the 14th of July, Sight Loss Council visit. And it's at Bromford's Residence Lounge, 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. So we're pleased to welcome PJ, a sight loss coordinator from the Thomas Pocklington Trust, who are visiting to meet members and hear your views. Please come along and have your voice heard. In 2022, Thomas Pocklington Trust and Sight Loss Council carried out a survey called Listening Month to ask blind and partially sighted people what matters most to them. The findings have helped shape the policies and campaigns we focus on, centred around our core themes of health, the built environment, transport, employment and education. This year we hope to reach as many blind and partially sighted people as possible during July 2026, as we would love those with lived experience to help guide our future work and ensure their voices are represented. Beacon Gym. Contact Daniel Clark at dclark@beaconvision.org or call 01902 880111 to book. Would you like to exercise in a fun and supportive environment? Maybe you want to join classes, work out independently, already exercise regularly, or just getting started? Our gym is here for you. The gym is open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Single sessions cost £5 or monthly membership is from £22. So you must complete a health questionnaire and an induction before you start, and please sign in to use the gym at the main reception desk. We also have a few classes within the gym environment. So on Wednesday the 1st of July at 10 a.m, I'm doing chair exercises. We will do that over at Beacon Court Residence Lounge, and it's a taster session, so there'll be no cost. Also, our indoor bowls is on Monday the 6th and Monday the 20th of July, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m, and that will be in the Beacon Gym itself, and the cost of that will be £2.50 for staffing and support. Vision Zone 2026, Solutions for Low Vision. 0800 145 6115/www.lowvisionshop.co.uk. Would you like to find out more about assistive technology, support services, groups and much more? Our Vision Zone events bring charities together, a variety of excellent services and charities covering your local area. No matter what your sight loss condition, we are here for you. Whether it's just to gain knowledge or hands-on experience of new technologies, entry is free to our events, and our friendly staff will greet you with a warm welcome. And that will be on Thursday the 16th of July from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And that's at the Beacon Centre for the Blind, Wolverhampton Road East. WV4 6AZ. Free entry, and there is no booking required, and the parking will be in the main car park outside the centre. Beacon V Fashion Show. So Beacon hosting a fashion show on the 9th of July, and the doors open at 6:30 p.m. and the V Fashion Show starts at 7 p.m. and it's at the Festival Community Hall Restaurant, Beacon Centre for the Blind, Wolverhampton Road East, WV4 6AZ. It's £5 per ticket, and it includes a drink on arrival. You can visit www.tickettailor.com/events/Beacon Centre for the Blind for tickets. If you'd like to be part of the show as a model as well, we'd love to hear from you. So email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Our friends at the Penn Singers Choir have asked us to help share details of the upcoming Sun, Moon and Stars concert. Penn Singers are wonderful supporters of Beacon throughout the last year, helping raise funds for our work, and we're delighted to help promote the special event. Please view the concert details below. So, it's Penn Singers. The website is www.pensingers.org.uk. It's called Sun, Moon and Stars, and it's at the Penn United Reformed Church, which is WV4 5QP, on Saturday the 4th of July. It features Rob Cabella. Tickets are £10, and it starts at 7:30 p.m. Tickets, a couple of numbers here for a man called Brian, which is 01902 652 992, or Alex, which is 01902 338 570. And that's the Jericho Society, Penn Singers, upcoming concert.
Sedgley Lifestyle Centre. We are open Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at our base in Sedgley. We run several activities each day, including cookery, crafting, pottery, computer work, gym sessions, listening to music, quizzes and reminiscing. We keep well hydrated with tea, coffee and water, and we have the restaurant to attend to for a hot meal if we don't bring our sandwiches with us. We are lively, fun and love to have a laugh. Why not come and join us for a trial day? Contact Beacon's reception and ask for more information. You can call us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Now, how would you like to help combat loneliness? Well, if you have 30 minutes free during the week, then as a befriending volunteer, you could do just that. Beacon's Befriending Service is here to offer friendship, support and help to anyone who may be feeling isolated and or lonely. As a volunteer, you will be paired with someone based on common interests, and all volunteering is flexible to suit your needs. So it could be arranged for support to be provided over the phone. If you're interested, contact our team by calling 01902 880 111 or emailing inquiries@beaconvision.org.
Accommodation at Beacon Court. Each apartment at Beacon Court has its own front door, individual access card, two bedrooms, store, wet/shower room, kitchen with appliances, gas central heating and double glazed windows. Beacon provides 24/7 care team on site to deal with any emergencies 365 days a year. There's a pull cord in each apartment that can be used in an emergency. You also get 30 minutes a week of well-being time to go through anything you like, such as help with post or paying bills. If you want any further information on accommodation at Beacon Court, please contact Chris Lamb on 01902 882 170 or email christopher.lamb@bromford.co.uk. Now, the memories of those who served in the armed forces are more than stories. They are fragments of lived history, carried in the hearts of those who stood in the face of uncertainty. In the roar of engines, the crack of gunfire, and the long silences between orders, individuals forged bonds stronger than fear. These recollections of courage, loss, and fleeting moments of humanity offer us a glimpse into the resilience that war demands and the hope that endures, even in its darkest hours. With thanks to the Talking News Federation, we introduce some humorous, some sad, some mundane, but all intensely human personal wartime memories of those who served.
So am I right, Nancy? Is each of these a different RAF base? So,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And each base presumably has this body of people that has to look after the equipment.
Oh, yes. It's the same job I was doing. Yeah.
Obviously, this is women, isn't it? And this is to enable the men to go and actually take the war to Germany. We're living very different times now. I'm just wondering.
Oh, yes.
Also, that you're in the WAF, so it's women, but you're in contact with men as well who are in service. How did you sense the men treated the women?
Oh, I don't know. Just the same as at home, I suppose. I mean, there used to be men and women working in the same office or whatever they were doing. And then we got to, they used to have dances up in the camp in the evenings and this, and just go and gather some, you know, have a laugh, have a reasonable time.
The only thing was you were only paid 2/3 of what the men got, but that was the time.
Oh, well, that was it, yeah. Yes, it's true.
So just reflecting back, there's a war going on. It's there are desperate times.
Yes.
What was morale like? Was there any point where you thought you might lose this war?
I don't think so. I mean, at 17, I don't think you think of things like that. You just go with the flow sort of the thing. Yeah. I love Churchill. Yeah. He did inspire me. He inspired me. And I can remember one church service, and the vicar said, you know, singing this hymn, we'll sing this one, keep right on to the end of the road. And I thought that was very touching, you know, little things like that.
There must have been very sad times, because people were losing relatives, weren't they?
Absolutely, yes. When I was at this place in Everton, it was an air gunner school, and they came there for the last 6 weeks to finish the training. So they were up and round about just training with the shooting. I don't know how you train for that, but anyway. But we had quite a few funerals there. I mean, I've thought maybe they used Hansons, which were very old planes, and they weren't maybe maintained as they should have been, though, but they kept falling out of the sky. And then sometimes on a Friday, they'd have this funeral, you know, and the band, of course, being Scotland, they played Flowers of the Forest and all this, and that was very emotional. So you just got out to get on with things. You couldn't stop doing what you did.
Although you were still on home territory, I mean, all over the place in the UK, you faced the same dangers as anybody else and did.
Oh, absolutely. I was in Banff near Aberdeen, and I was posted to a place called Beccles in Suffolk. So I got on the train at Banff, and I got down as far as Manchester and decided, or I've decided before, that I would drop off there and go and see my parents, you know, this for a couple of hours, which I did. And then I went, got the train again to Beccles, and I was absolutely shattered. And I went to bed, and beds along, and quite a lot of people in one hut and this. And I heard all this commotion, and I could hear people saying, "Is she dead? Is she dead?" And I just passed out. I was just so tired. I didn't even hear them strafing, did they call it, you know, on the Nissen Holt. So you can imagine the noise that is. They got used to get rid of the ammunition and things when they were going back, the Germans, you know, and they could shoot along this line of Nissen Holt and that, and I slept right through it.
I heard a story about a Lancaster. What was
Oh, we were moving from one place to another. This was in England, up in the south somewhere. And the bombers, like, that went, because this was after the war, and they took us from one station to another. Maybe when they finished at this one station, we got in this thing, and you had to get a little steps, things like this, and you had to sort of heave yourself up in there, you know. Then there were no seats or anything.
You were also wearing sort of straight skirts.
Well, that's right, you know. So when we were taking off, we had to go all the way to the tail. And when we were landing, we all had to go to the nose.
So and they were taking you to another
just
place?
Just to another, yes. Because, as I say, places were they only used in the war. They were closing. So people like me, that was in a job that we had to stay the day to another place and, you know, get another group there. I think that's was the idea. So, I mean, the bombing must have just been there, nothing to do. So they just flew us from one station to another at Cambridge. So I moved around quite a bit.
It took a while for you to feel much difference from the war, because you'd still got rationing.
That's right. I mean, things then were rationed for quite a while. We had a little shop near where we lived in Droylsden. Rationing was on for quite a long time, as I say, but I still remember that. Tea, sugar, butter, marge, lard, bacon, eggs and cheese. They were the four things that were really rationed.
And I gather you've been guest of honour at quite a few different events, haven't you, over the years, am I right?
The Guild had an event and she was a VIP there.
Yes.
So which group is that?
Townswomen's Guild of
Cheadle-Hume. There's pictures here when you went to that thing at Romilly.
I know this gentleman, but tell me about it. Go on.
You know it?
Yeah.
Well, it was in the forum at...
in Romilly, yeah.
So this gentleman was only 99.
Yeah, this is Jeff Brown, isn't it?
Is that his name?
Yes, Jeff Brown, yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, he flew Lancasters.
Yeah.
He was on Lancasters.
Well, yes, he was.
He was a mid-upper gunner.
He couldn't have been in that long during the war.
No, I think it was about the last year of the war. So that was VJ Day, was it? Yeah, it would have been, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is. I've got a magazine there from it.
Lovely. These... Nancy, I think these are from the event you came to at Woodford.
So I was in a wheelchair. Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
those
that's
are the
with those two
military police there. Yeah.
And that's the Vulcan Bombay. That one.
That's right. Yes.
And that's the Lancaster. That's the one you were in the back of.
Yes.
Rolling around. Yeah.
That's me in front of the Spitfire. But there again, you see, I always say, well, I didn't do anything. I didn't fly a Spitfire or one thing or another, you know.
It was such a pleasure and such an honour to have that conversation with Nancy. And in line with her unfailing modesty, she didn't tell me about her King's Commendation for Brave Conduct Award, which I only found out about after the recording.
That night in
time now for a numerical challenge and a simple puzzle using mental arithmetic to keep your brain active. Follow the clues and do the maths to get your answer in this edition of a numerical audio puzzle from Roger.
Hello again, everyone. Are you ready for another number puzzle this week? I hope so. Well, here goes. Get your thinking caps on for this one, and the answers will be revealed later on. Let's start off with the number of holes played in a golf course. Add to that number the number of players in a cricket match. Multiply that number by the number of wheels that can be found on a car, and this is a tricky one. Add to that the score that a bullseye gives in darts. And finally, take away the score at a double top.
We are pleased to now introduce local author and musical duo Michael and Leslie Brachia in our podcast star segment, Round the Reeking.
Welcome to Around the Reeking with Mike and Leslie. I'm Leslie.
And I'm Mike.
This morning you find us on the bus. We're using our bus passes for the first time, bit of an adventure. Unfortunately, due to major roadworks on the road, on the usual route, we've had quite a long walk and had to flag down the bus in the middle of nowhere. Very kindly stopped for us. So we're now on our way to Whitchurch. And we'll catch up with you then.
Well, it's my first bus ride for well over 30 years, so this is quite an adventure. We've reached Tilstock, and we seem to have turned off the A49, A41 area, and we're going over a railway bridge on a very narrow road. And we are approaching the village of Tilstock, aren't we, Leslie?
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that?
Yes, the timetable that I'm looking at doesn't mention this bit of the route, but of course, because the main road's blocked off, we could be going any old way and not really know about it.
That's it. Okay, we'll speak to you.
Catch up with you when we get to Whitchurch.
On the B road after Tilstock, just passing Alderford Lake, and we've now got to the main island. Some new houses at a place called Talbot Place, and we're going into the town centre. Sign there for Whitchurch Historic Market Town. The lovely border there with all the and all a load of new houses to our left and fields to our right. Talbot Place development there, and we're on our way into the centre of Whitchurch. We can see Tesco, where the bus station is, so we're just coming in there, past the fire station, and pulling into the Tesco car park, which has a small bus station right next to it, and a lovely view of the church there, and the leisure centre where we went swimming on Monday. So here we are, and catch up with you in a minute.
Okay, so we've now arrived in Whitchurch. We got off the bus at the bus station, which is just outside Tesco supermarket. We had a nice conversation with a very kind driver.
Yeah, we said hello to Tim.
Yes, his name was Tim.
And Philip's with us. Do you want to say hello, Philip?
Do you want to say hello? Yeah. So Philip was waving frantically bye-bye to the gentleman as we walked away. So we popped into Tesco quickly, and now we've walked up the road. Our next objective is to go and check out the railway station. We're not going to get on the train today, but we're going to have a look and see if we can do it another time. So we're now sitting on a bench at the bottom of Station Road, and we'll be heading up there to have a little look in a minute.
Yes, we've just walked the length of, is it?
Green End.
Green End.
That's where our dentist is, isn't it, down
yes,
there?
Which links at the other end to the High Street. And so we walk the top of the hill to this, it's a five-way.
Quite a busy junction, isn't it here?
It is. And I can see a sign there. This is Station Road. I can see Talbot Street. There's a sign for Whitchurch Allport Football Club. That looks
that's
interesting.
Something we'll check that out another day.
Well, as football supporters, we might find that quite interesting. So we'll watch this space.
Right. So we're going to head up to the station in a few minutes and see what there is there. We're walking up Station Road. We've stopped to admire a really grand old building, which is a large red brick building with a clock in the tower. Now, according to the beautiful gold lettering on the front, it's Joyce Turret Clock Manufacturers, which would make some sort of sense. But it looks as if it's now an auctioneer's called Trevanion. However, at the side is what is clearly a school playground, or has been, and that is still used for educational purposes. So I think it's quite likely that this used to be a school. It's an amazing building, isn't it?
It is. I would like to know what a turret clock is. T-U-R-R-E-T.
I'm guessing it's one that goes in a tower.
Yeah, that's right.
And Philip's particularly interested. At the very top is a weather vane in the shape of a fox. Now, Philip likes foxes. He watches cartoons about foxes. He spotted that up there. There's no wind today, so it's not moving. In fact, it's quite warm as we're walking along.
It is warm.
So we'll just head a little bit further to the railway station.
Okay, we've arrived in the station, and there's a welcome to Whitchurch sign here, and there's some interesting words. Just read some of these out for you. Whitchurch is the only town in Shropshire on an original Roman site. The Roman fort of Mediolanum. Mediolanum?
Yeah, Mediolanum.
Mediolanum, which means town in mid-plain, was a day's march between Chester, formerly known as Dever, Wroxeter, and what's that one in the...
Viriconium.
Viriconium, that's the Latin name.
The Roman name.
Lovely picture of a barge on the canal. The Saxons called their village Westune. That means West Farmstead. The surrounding hamlets became townships, and Dodtune, meaning the settlement of Dodder's people, is now fully integrated into Whitchurch as Doddington. The first church was built on the hill in AD 912. We'll come back to that later. We're just going to have a walk up the hill towards the station.
So we're at the station, and there's a train just about to arrive on the platform that we're nearest to, and that one's only going as far as Crewe. Some of the services on this side go all the way to Manchester Piccadilly. It obviously can change in Crewe for North Wales and other areas. The platform on the other side is the one that would take us down towards Shrewsbury. The station at Priest is... the train's just pulling in. Perhaps hear that. There is a train station at Priest, but that's a request stop. And it's cut off a bit at the moment by other roadworks. It's really useful to know that these services are so accessible.
Okay, the train has just left Whitchurch for Crewe. And as Leslie said, at Crewe you can change to go west to Wales or down to the Midlands, Wolverhampton, Birmingham, or indeed up to Scotland all places north of here, sort of Manchester, all those sort of places. It's a small station, larger than the station we saw at Pries, but this is an unmanned station. And we're on platform two, nearest the car park. Very confusing. Platform one is the other side, but the sign seems to say that... What did it say?
It said, one, this platform is for Crewe.
Yeah.
And all points north, and over the footbridge for Shrewsbury. But that said number two, so that's the opposite way around.
So the sign is a bit confusing, but it's a nice little station, plenty of parking, and there's some, I think, three disabled parking spots. And you can see housing estate just the other side of the station. But it's a lovely sunny day today. So does everywhere look nice when the weather's good?
That's bright.
Yeah, that's right. So this is Whitchurch Station, and I'm sure at some point we'll be making use of this, won't we?
Oh, yeah.
We intend to get to places like Wrexham, Chester, Crewe,
and Nantwich,
and maybe on to Manchester, Liverpool, so we'll see. So we could be making good use of this. And we've done the bus and walked from Whitchurch Town Centre to here. It's about a 15-minute walk, and I imagine we'll be using the car when we come to go further afield. So that's Whitchurch Railway Station. Yeah.
We've now made our way back into Whitchurch Town Centre. We've headed straight for our favourite hall, which is a little place called Walker's. It's a deli and cake shop downstairs with a lovely little tea shop upstairs. And we've been in there a number of times when we were house hunting 12 months ago. So there was no doubt as to where we were going to end up for our lunch. So we're lucky that we're here in time to have the full English breakfast. So we've ordered three of those and tea for three people, and that should keep us going for a bit.
Not forgetting the HP brown sauce.
Oh, yes. Mike and Philip love brown sauce on everything, so they'll be having some of that as well. So we'll catch up with you, give you a précis of a review of it when we've had it. So come back to you in a bit. So we've made our way back to the bus station, having had a very nice fry-up, haven't we?
Oh, lovely, yes. Can't beat it. Fried egg, sausage, mushrooms, the works.
Yeah, and lashings of tea as well.
And brown sauce.
Because Philip loves his cups of tea.
Don't you, Philip?
You like a cup of tea, don't you?
Eber,
yeah. Yes, he wants to go home now, he's saying. So we're just waiting for the bus, and we're going to ask them if they'll kindly drop us off on the way. Because, as we've said, it's a different route at the moment, so we're hoping that they'll identify somewhere.
Don't know where the actual bus stops are.
We rang the company this morning to see how they were going to do it, and they said, told us where to get on, which we did. We're not at all clear about where we have to get off, so we'll have to butter up the driver, I think. Yeah. So we're just waiting for the bus to come in now.
Well, the bus we managed to catch into Whitchurch was a 5:12. The first time I've been on a bus for 30 years. Now, we've just left Whitchurch, and this is a 5:11, which is going towards Shrewsbury. And we hope we can be dropped off in near the village of Higher Heath. And so it'd be interesting to see which way this goes. We've taken a right turn. Right turn takes to the... towards the village of Tilstock. I think that's where we came. So down the narrow country lane. So we'll catch up in a minute.
So we've just been dropped off in the middle of nowhere again by the bus. A very kind lady bus driver stopped. I actually rang the bell and said, can we get off here, please? Because obviously, with the diverted route, it's not the usual stopping off place. So we're just walking along, and we can't help noticing there's a lot of traffic because of the diversion.
Just a quick thought. It took me a couple of minutes to get Philip off the bus because he wanted to wave bye-bye and say bye-bye to everyone, including the driver.
Yeah.
And all the ladies on the bus were always saying bye-bye back to him.
Yeah.
So I think he wanted to stay on the bus.
Well, no, having got on there, he wanted to stay on. But he's making the sign for home now, so we'll trek off. And so this has been our bus ride adventure.
Yes.
Around the Wrekin with Mike and Leslie. I've been Leslie.
And I've been Mike.
We'll see you next time.
Now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, it's Mina here with your forecast for the week ahead. And it's looking like you've got some more summer days full of sunshine ahead, with UV levels continuing to range from high to very high. So do take care and follow all the extreme heat guidance. Sunrise and sunset times are as follows: 4:55 a.m. for the sunrise and 9:30 p.m. for the sunset. As for the weather, Friday 3rd of July is set to be lovely and sunny, with a gentle warm breeze drifting in from the west. Temperatures shall reflect this, with highs of 25 degrees. Both pollen and UV levels shall be high. Moving into the weekend, and a subtle change to a northwesterly breeze may bring a little light cloud across the region. Sunny intervals shall keep temperatures up at very pleasant high of 26 degrees right across the region, with UV levels remaining high. And this pattern of sunny intervals, a gentle breeze, and improving temperatures shall continue as we move into Monday 6th and through to Thursday 9th of July, with dry, sunny and warm days expected. A southwesterly breeze shall help to nudge temperatures up a touch of 28 degrees, across the week, with it looking as though things are set to peak at around 30 degrees. On Wednesday, UV levels will also peak to very high levels too. So, there we have it. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and enjoy most summer days.
Now, here come the quiz
answers,
and they're brought to us by Mina.
Hello, and here are your answers for another number puzzle challenge. Feeling confident? Have you got the correct answer? Let's see. Roger began by asking us, how many holes do you play on a golf course? Now, if you're nimble-minded, you may recall some recent news we reported of Wolverhampton's very own professional golfer Aaron Rye's successes, and figured that the answer is 18. 18 holes on a golf course. Roger then took us from the fairways of golf to the summer sounds of leather on willow and cricket, where he wanted us to recall the number of players in a cricket match and add it to our number with 11 team members. Per team, the answer there is 11 plus 11 equals 22. So 22 added to our original answer of 18 holes on a golf course took this answer to 40. From our playing field to our roads now, and we had to be sharp of mind for this one, as Roger wanted us to multiply our answer by the number of wheels on a car. Now, how many of us may have gone with the answer 4? But totally forgot all about the steering wheel and spare wheel carried in the boot, which makes 6 in total. So 40 multiplied by 6 gave us 240. You could say that was a really tricky one from Roger. To the OK key now, and the darts where Roger wanted us to add the points given for hitting a bullseye to our answer of 240. A bullseye carries 50 points, so that rounded us up to 290. Interestingly, the term bullseye has been used in English since at least the 16th century, and some sources also wrote that the term was associated with 5-shilling coin of silver size, which was already called a bullseye. And another tricky taster to finish, which was to subtract what's known as double top on a dartboard from our answer of 290. Any fans of arrows will know that double top is the outer ring of the number 20 segment, and it was worth 40 points. So, subtracting 40 from 290 gave us a final answer for this week's number puzzle challenge of 250. So, how did you do? Did you get them all right? If not, not to worry, as I will be back next week to test you all once again. Bye for now.
Next up, of course, we have the latest goings on from the village of Leaford.
Leaford Village, Episode 17, Ted the Magician, written by Michael Brackier and John Marks, read by Michael and Leslie Brackier. Previously in Leaford Village, Sherry arrived for her date with Alan Gomez, did not expect to meet Linda, would also arrive for a date with Alan on the wrong day. Gail Perkins is at the police station being questioned about the arson incident at the hairdresser's, for which she is prime suspect. Zach is being accused of cheating during the pound challenge by Frank Watson. Scene 1.
An eerie silence descends on the whole pub as Zach makes his way to the bar. George, Ken and Cody look at each other. Jack looks bewildered and Claire looks at Zach as she has done throughout the whole evening.
Give that phone here, my lad, Zack deposits his phone in Frank Watson's outstretched hand. Now, let's see what you've been looking at while this challenge has been going on.
Frank taps the screen, frowns, taps the screen again.
It's password protected, says Cody, winking at Zack. Frank hands the phone back to Zack. Well, unprotect it then. Zack taps in four numbers and is about to give the phone back to Frank when Ted intervenes.
Hang on, Zack. You're not obliged to do that. There might be personal stuff on there, Frank. I suggest he gives the phone to me so it's out of his reach. Zack gives the phone to Ted, who puts it in his pocket.
I'm sorry, Ted, that's not good enough. There's money at stake here, and the reputations of those involved, and, if I may say, the integrity of the Pound Challenge, which attracts a sizeable crowd of paying customers. Frank points around the room at the customers, enthralled by the situation unfolding in front of them.
Ted nods. OK, Frank, you're right. Mind if I tap in your passcode, Zack? I saw what it was. You can change it when you get the phone back.
Zack shrugs.
Ted taps in the code and hands the phone to Frank.
Right, this will confirm my suspicions. Mark my words. Frank gives the phone a few taps and scrolls down the page. He stares at the screen for a while, his face turning redder and redder. A few beads of sweat form on his brow.
Something wrong, Frank? Asks Ted.
It appears I might have made a slight error of judgment, Ted.
Oh, what makes you think that?
Frank swallows hard. He hands the phone to Ted.
It seems that Zack's recent browsing history points to him searching for weekend breaks in London. Hardly something that would lead him to being able to pass on the answers, is it, Frank?
George, Ken and Cody look at each other, shaking their heads. Claire continues to look at Zack, marvelling at how calm he remains in the face of a crisis. I don't understand, I'm sure, but I thought, mutters Frank.
I think an apology is in order, Frank, says Ted.
Frank straightens his tie and coughs. Of course, I apologise unreservedly for Zack. I made a terrible error of judgment. I beg your forgiveness. He offers his hand out to Zack, who takes it reluctantly. It's okay, he says. Frank looks at his watch. Is that the time? Well, I'd better be off. Good night, all. He marches across the room and pushes through the double doors that open onto the street.
Okay, everyone, normal service is resumed, shouts Ted. Gradually, the customers pick up their drinks, and soon there is the normal buzz of a pub on a busy Tuesday evening. George, Ken, Cody and Jack stand looking confused. Zack is about to join them when Ted beckons him. Zack, a word.
Scene 2.
At the police station, PC Gary Carr and Sergeant Stephen Miller are standing outside the interview room. Sitting inside is Gail Perkins, waiting to be questioned.
Just to fill you in, Gary, the owner of the ring has agreed not to press charges against Clara. I explained that Clara has been quite distressed lately and that what she did was totally out of character.
Yeah, I was surprised when I heard about it, Sarge.
Yeah, also, she didn't exactly steal the ring. She just didn't give it back when it was reported lost. It would be difficult to charge her with theft.
Gary nods in agreement.
Anyway, it's all done and dusted. I'll call and see Sutra in the morning. Poor man has had such a fright.
They look through the one-way mirror at Gail Perkins, sitting motionless as she has done since arriving at the station.
OK, Gary, let's get on with it. They enter the room and sit opposite Gail, who continues to stare straight ahead. Stephen begins. Miss Perkins, thank you for being patient. We'd like to ask you a few questions. Scene 3.
Ted takes Zack into a small room behind the bar, stacked with crates of soft drinks and boxes of crisps.
Thanks for that, Ted. You saved my life. But how do you do that stuff with a phone? You must be a magician. Can I have it back?
Ted puts his hand firmly on Zack's shoulder. Don't you ever do that in my pub again, do you hear?
Zack immediately feels 2 feet smaller.
You did cheat. I know that, and so do you.
Zack looks down at his trainers. Yes, I did. I'm sorry. We were trying to stitch Jack up.
Ted releases his grip. Well, I'm disappointed in you, but I'm more disappointed in those that agreed to go along with it, and I'll be having words with them too.
Zack looks up at Ted. I won't do it again.
I know you won't, Zack.
Zack smiles weakly and turns to go back to the bar.
Hang on, says Ted, reaching into his pocket. Your phone. He hands the phone back to Zack. Wait, just let me check it's the right one. He pulls a phone from his other pocket.
Zack looks at the phone in his hand and the one in Ted's. They're identical.
Ted winks. I know. I've no idea what your passcode is. I'd been searching for a city break for me and Sally later in the year. The phone Frank Watson was looking at was mine.
Ted, you're a genius. Zach laughs and Ted can't help but smile. Thanks for doing this for me.
You? I didn't do it for you. You see how popular the pound challenge is. I can't afford to lose my punters because of your cheating.
Zach walks away sheepishly.
Anyway, Ted shouts. You're not off the hook entirely, my boy.
Zach stops and turns. What do you mean?
Your Claire will be expecting you to take her on one of those city breaks she thinks you've been looking at. Ted bursts into fits of laughter, and Zach skulks back to the bar. Scene 4.
Gail, this is not helping. If you know something about the fire at the hairdresser's, we've every reason to believe you might, and it's best you say so. Gail Perkins continues to look straight ahead, ignoring Stephen's words.
Sergeant Miller's right, Gail. You will have to speak if this goes to court. She briefly looks at Gary Carr and then straight ahead again.
I'll ask you one more time, Gail. Do you know anything about the recent fire at Jessica's? At the sound of Jessica's name, Stephen Miller notices Gail clench her hand into a fist. Jessica Townley, I believe you and she have a bit of history.
What did she tell you? Gail suddenly becomes animated and thumps her fist down on the table. Eh? What did she tell you? She repeats, thumping her fist down again.
Stephen and Gary look at each other. Stephen asks, what do you think she might have told us, Gail? Gail relaxes her hands and stares straight ahead. Stephen sighs. Look, Gail, we've had enough. If you're refusing to cooperate, I'm going to have to arrest you on suspicion of arson. Of course, you can call your solicitor, but I suggest we keep it to a chat at this point until the facts can be established.
Gail leans back in her chair. Okay, I know something about the fire at the hairdresser's.
Now we're getting somewhere, says Stephen, trying to keep the conversation friendly, despite his obvious irritation.
Yeah, I know something about it, but it wasn't me that caused it.
Scene 5.
What am I doing here? What are you doing here? You said you were meeting your friends in East Banfield.
And you said you were going to Wolverhampton.
The two sisters glare at each other, rapidly thinking of an excuse for being in the car park. It's Sherry who speaks first.
If you must know, I'm meeting a fella.
A fella? Who?
I'm not saying.
Anyone I know? Sherry fiddles with a long string of beads she's wearing round her neck.
Maybe, maybe not.
Oh, come on, Sherry, you're not 10 years old.
OK, if you must know, I'm meeting Alan Gomez.
Linda's eyes widen. Sorry, did you say Alan Gomez?
Yeah, he texted me. Says he wants to go on a date.
Linda looks up to the sky, then down at the floor. Well, would you believe it?
Yeah, actually, I always thought he fancied me, says Sherry with a wide grin.
So why the secrecy?
What?
Why didn't you tell me?
Sherry wraps her necklace round her fingers. Because...
Because he told you not to tell his sister, is that it?
Sherry shakes her head. Sorry, how do you know that?
Because he told me the same thing.
Oh my God! He wants to date both of us on the same night. Sherry lets go of the necklace and the beads rattle as they fall back into position. What a creep.
Yes, agrees Linda. What a creep.
I didn't know he fancied you, Linda. He hardly ever speaks to you when he comes into the laundrette.
Linda feels a chill run down her spine. No, I didn't know either.
Well, he's going to have such a surprise when he finds us both here.
Yeah, says Linda in a very small voice. He is.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!